These kinds of movies, including Sharknado 3, make sense for cable channels seeking more media coverage and a new audience. But in Sharknado's case, Sci-Fi has crafted a new installment that's a pale echo of the earlier versions, leaving fans to wonder what was really so funny the first time around. I'm Eric Deggans.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News NATO. Watch out. I'm Renee Montaigne.
I'm Steve Inskeep.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good morning. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And on a Wednesday morning, to take a look at what's been happening at the Chicago Board of Trade from the CME Group, corn futures are now down a quarter. That in the nearby September contract, it's trading at 4.06 and a quarter. December, the harvest month at $4.16 and a quarter, a penny and a quarter lower. March down a penny and a half. May down a penny and three quarters. July down two. And next year's December down one. August soybeans are up 6.5 cents. They're trading at $10.25 and a quarter. The September is unchanged at 10.06 and a half. Everything else is just a bit lower, down 2 cents in the November, 10.02 and three quarters, off 2.5 in the Jan, the March down three, July down 2.25, and next year's November down 0.25 cent. It's trading in the November of 16 at 9.50 and three quarters. Bean meal is up $3.20, bean oil 40 cents lower. Chicago soft red winter wheat up a penny and a quarter at 5.26 and a quarter, December at 5.33 and three quarters, a half higher. The hard red up 4 cents at $5.22. Live cattle futures from the CME Group are 2.5 cents lower at 145.12.5 in the August. October down 20 cents. Feeder cattle August contract 42.5 lower at 212.65, and September's are down 57.5 cents. August lean hogs at $2.45 higher, $78.32.5 the current trade. On the phone line is Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. He and Jackie Vakes are swapping places this week for convenience for both of them. Thanks so much for being here today. I really do appreciate it. There's lots been happening, Mike, in the marketplace. Farmers have been taken, and the trade too, a little bit aback by the reversal in fortunes, at least at the Chicago Board of Trade, given what the condition of the corn crop in particular, even the soybean crop, is like in the eastern Corn Belt and parts of the Corn Belt near you. What do you think of it this week?
Well, you can throw me in that pile as well, Todd. I really felt like that as we got between the July and August reports, we would have another 5 to 6% move up from that 4.35 level in corn and 10.25 level in beans for the new crop, on the ideas that this was a crop conditions and acreage issue that was still unresolved. And I think what has happened here in big picture, in the short term especially, is while we got through the Greece issue, the Chinese issue has worsened. Their equity market sell-off has caused some of the Chinese and Asian market participants to sell into the gold market for liquidity's sake, maybe in part because of some weak demand as well. But the key here is that the sell-off in the gold, in my view, has really pushed the commodity indexes like the Bloomberg Commodity Index, the Deutsche Bank Commodity Index, those big indexes down to 12, 13-year lows. In other words, the trade, simply put, is saying we're in a deflationary mindset, and I think the reason that is because this equity market sell-off in China is gathering steam in investors' minds that they're going to have a bigger economic slowdown than the trade was prepared for. And so it's a big issue, and it really puts you in between the crosshairs as a producer, because technically and from an investor sentiment standpoint, selling here in the short term can be understood and probably a good idea because you have broken some key technical levels. But for the medium term and for cash-related hedging, how can you recommend selling given, as you say, declining crop conditions in some key states? And so I'm going to take, as I usually do, a middle ground approach. Okay to do some paper hedging here if you feel the need to. Would not want to do any cash marketing. And I'm going to wait for that August 12th crop report to see if we don't get the market's attention refocused back on the supply.
Okay, so I started thinking about this yesterday a little bit because of what I had been reading and mentioned, I think, on my at Commodity Week Twitter feed, gold a couple of times. But now we're down below 1,100. We're at, what, $10.88 or thereabout, with a low of 85.50 so far this morning on the gold market. We had big problems in China that made the headlines to begin with as their bubble burst, but the move in the gold is an entirely different and, as you mentioned, I guess, deflationary function. How problematic is it on the global scale, do you suppose?
Well, it's bigger than Greece. I think that's what we have to look at is that this is a feature that's bigger than Greece. And so while we skated through and got by the skin of our teeth on Greece, we have not with the Chinese equity market. One of the greatest economists of our time, Stephen Roach, who used to be the head of Asia for Morgan Stanley, in my view, one of the best, if not the best, for Asia, is suggesting on some of his recent analysis from the CFR and from Foreign Affairs that because the majority of the investors that jumped in recently are the only ones getting hurt, that the majority of Chinese investors and the majority of Chinese people who have a huge savings and were promoted to get into the equities market by the Chinese government to speculate, they are essentially unharmed at this point. In other words, the talk is that roughly 1 to 2 million new security accounts per week were opened in China in the first half of this year. And it's just a mind-boggling number when you think about it. But those, fortunately, were the people that got hurt the most because since other people were in it longer, they still have profitability. So the majority of the people that I respect and think highly of would suggest, and some of the own research I do would suggest, as long as you don't turn this into a 1987 U.S.-style crash for China, we're through the worst of it. And so unlike what I wanted to say this week was we're going to focus on crop conditions and focus on weather and yield, we're probably going to have to go back to focusing on the macro side for the next couple, 3 weeks.
Yeah, so in 87, I got to think about this. This was the stock market crash. It was only about 500 points, but we were running, what, at 2,500 or 2,300 and dropped to 18 or something like that.
Exactly right. Great point. Percentage-wise, it was huge, yeah.
Yeah, so this is what we have to be wary of and to watch. I don't recall that one started with the last in, first out being crushed, but I was awfully young. I wasn't out of college at the time. And I don't know. I suppose it's something to keep really close tabs on then.
Yeah, I mean, this is where a 30% fall from running up 50 or 60% year to date or since November of last year, don't hold me to these numbers, but essentially the newest investors are the ones that are hurt. The ones that have been in it more than a year, more than 5 years especially, are not hurt at this point. When you start drawing down their funds, then you can start talking about a run and more weakness. And unfortunately, China, because it's so tied to the commodity demand, it's not like other countries where the equities markets don't mean as much. It really means a lot because China is trying to move their people into more consumption of commodities, get them into cities. They want something like 20 million people per year into cities between now and the 2030. You know, in the next 15 years, you're talking about 20 million people a year. How are you going to do that if they don't have any savings left because their equities market rallied? And so that's kind of the tie-in here. But I think it's important for producers to realize that the trade is probably not really looking at any yield declines right now, and that the August report, I don't want to set my sights on it and get anybody's hopes up, but I think the market is off-center here, too focused on gold and too focused on the demand side, and if the August report comes in with a yield decline, we can balance that up and at least give us another chance to hedge.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk with you again this afternoon. Before I let you go, one more time, very quickly, repeat your advice to producers is paper only at this point, no cash sales, right?
Exactly right. Wait till the August report before you're getting into any of the paper cash-related hedging.
All right. We'll take it up in more detail this afternoon during the closing market report.
Great questions as always, Todd. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Very glad to have him on with us this morning. He's in for Jackie Vakes. If you were looking for her, she'll be in on Friday to do his slots. At the Chicago Board of Trade, CME Group futures in the corn pit are down 1 to 2. Nearby soybeans in the August are up a nickel. Everything else down 2 to 4 cents. Wheat futures are narrowly mixed, but mostly the lower 0.75 to 0.5 cents. And in the bean meal, they're up 3.30. Bean oil, 46 cents higher. Live cattle futures for the day are up about 22.5 in the nearby. Everything else down about 40 cents. Then in the feeder, the live cattle up 40 cents in the nearby and a nickel lower in the deferred contracts. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. We're on our way to 74 degrees today, under mostly sunny skies, partly cloudy tonight, and a low of 61. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.